Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
And Phil, isn't it lovely to be in the beautiful Mawson Lakes?
It is. Here we are. Oh, look, new neighbours across the road in the apartment across the road, Rick.
You're joking.
Yeah, you won't believe it. Five ants moved in.
Five ants?
Yeah.
Really?
And you won't believe it again. Five what? More moved in.
You're joking.
Now there's 10 ants. Boom, boom.
Do they get better than that?
I hope yours is. Okay, Rick, let's start with...
local bowls.
Yeah, well, now what about my bowls first, Rick? How'd we go? How'd we go Saturday?
Who'd you play?
Henley, who's sitting virtually equal second, third, is very close down below us as we're sitting on top.
Is that right?
Yes, and as you saw, Rick, you did text me on Sunday morning. My rank 33-10 up, which was a very good win. Side up by 20-odd shots. So I'll just quickly run through this, folks.
Do you really have to?
And then, of course, Wednesday, Rick, another text message from you.
Now, honestly, I thought Wednesday was meant to be of a reasonable standard.
Very, very strong Hawthorn side, sitting second to bottom. Beat them 29-9 in our rink and team up by a million, just about a million. No, they're a very ordinary side. We needed to beat them, so
That's lovely of you being modest and admitting that really they couldn't play.
There you go. Now, quickly, I just want to mention the player ladder on the Saturdays, Rick. They rank you how many wins you've had, how many losses you had, rah, rah, rah. We have a couple of leaders or up in the top rankings from the Paynham Bowling Club.
Oh, yes.
We've got Stewie Lomax, who's ranked one as we speak. Number one at the moment. Eric Monty.
Yes.
Skip, I've been playing 3-2 the last few weeks. He's number three. Angelo Gregoriato. He's number three.
Can you spell that?
I have got it in front of me. But I've known Ange for 5 years. So I still can't say his name.
He can't either.
And then we've got Benny McDonald. He's sitting at six. So out of the top half a dozen there, we've got four in that top.
Wonder the table is...
Yeah, you've got to look down to see my name a little bit more. I'm sitting at 22, so...
20?
That's pretty good, at about 200.
That's only to make up the number in a side.
Going all right. Okay, let's go in the local bowls, Rick. Enough of that. Angaston versus Tanunda. Would have thought Angaston would win quite a couple.
Yes.
Well, they won, 95-82. Justin Morris was the best skip for the day. His win over Ian Yench by nine. So, comfortable win to Angaston, which has put Tanunda out the four as we speak.
All right.
The big winners for Saturday was Kapunda. Kapunda, 138 versus Yadunda, who was second to bottom, 75.
Right, now, what about, is there an influence of the fellow that you mentioned who's moved to Tanunda?
Yes, I've got the, you're going ahead of my...
I've got
a little bit of a round up there.
Oh,
yes.
Right, okay. Pretend I didn't ask that.
Okay, you didn't ask that question. Adrian Green was the best skip there, up by 26.
I'm just going to interrupt, folks. You can see we do a lot of preparation. Right, go on.
He was 43-17 up on Aaron Jones. So now ask me that question.
Oh, now the new member of the Kapunda side.
That would be Brett Rowland.
Brett Rowland.
Had another good win. Yep.
So very
13
big.
13 plus, yeah. He's
very big gain.
Bought a house and everything up there. He's moved in. He's settled in there.
All right.
So good on Brett. And loving the club. Had a chat to him during the week and he's loving it up there. So that's all good. Got to mention a mate of mine, Ian Greenshields. He skipped on Saturday and had a huge win, which was great.
Oh,
and
excellent.
I must say congratulations to Ian and Marty Ransom on winning the Kapunda pairs.
Gee whiz.
There you go. I'm all over that bit.
You've got mates everywhere, haven't you?
Oh, well, people I know.
People you know, yeah.
Okay.
How much do they pay you? I mean...
Righto, we'll move on to the next game. Freeling and Lindock, a close game. Freeling third to bottom, Lindock... About third, I think they are. 88, Freeling. Lindock, 95. So
nothing virtually.
Harry Sykes having a very, very good year with his number three, Ash Thomas. 33-12 over Dean Gear from Freeling.
Yep.
So there we go. Mount Pleasant versus Newry. Mount Pleasant, as we know, sitting bottom. Newry a third, Lindock a second. 69 Mount Pleasant, Newry 111.
Oh,
Stewie Allen, big winner this Saturday by 26 over Hamby. 37-11.
Oh.
Big win, big win. So quickly, Rick, I'll run through the, we've done a few minutes on this, so.
That's all right, Phil, you take your time.
The ladder, the all-important ladder.
Sorry, I just snoozed off for a second. No, I didn't, I'm all ears.
Yeah, Angaston sitting top, Lindock second, Newry third, Kapunda fourth, and Tanunda fifth. Now, Rick,
now.
Tanunda versus Kapunda this week.
Huge.
At Tanunda. Huge week.
Well, you'd almost say Kapunda will start favourites, wouldn't you?
Yes, I reckon they will, with the incoming Brett Rowland.
Exactly.
But we won't mention him one more time on this show.
No.
He was very impressed that we did mention him on here.
Oh, was he?
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Well,
but Kapunda do have a hard run home, but so do Newry. So it could be maybe Tanunda in and either Kapunda or Newry heading out.
Okay.
Time will tell. A few weeks to go. So quickly, the players lead a ladder as we see it in the local league.
Yes.
Sykes, Harry Sykes, who we just mentioned. Very good year for Lindock. He's leading it. Justin Morris from Angaston, new player up there this year. Second, Brucey Field, as we know Bruce.
Brucey
Field.
A valued
listener of ours,
yes.
Bruce Field.
Yeah.
Third, and Ash Thomas is sitting fourth. So, look, that's about the wrap-up on the local scene.
Oh, look, you've done an incredible job, and I look forward to that every week. I really
just didn't really want to spend that much time on my game.
I didn't want you to either, and nor did the listeners. Now, what about the mighty Redbacks, eh?
I still haven't got over that victory.
It's excitement.
Well, I did actually, because about 2 days later they got absolutely flogged by the same team. So I did get over it pretty quick.
It only goes to show, although, you know, Western Australia, top, for those who listen to for us, Western Australia, top of the table, won the toss, sent South Australia into bat on Adelaide Oval, and then South Australia pull off their second victory.
Yep.
Always dangerous to send anyone in on Adelaide Oval. And, you know, if you get a start, they got an early wicket, the Western Australians, and then the South Australians, they couldn't break them apart.
No.
Anyway, but, you know, then it all comes back to reality in the one day or a couple of days afterwards when Western Australia flogged them. But you can only win and play. And so, believe it or not, they're third on the table at the moment.
The Redbacks are going great guns. No wonder they re-signed Dizzy.
Well, Dizzy's got them booked in for the final.
Oh.
Hey. Now, I'm sure most of our listeners realise this, but the joke of the whole thing is that if by imagination vividly South Australia were to make the final and it was to be hosted in South Australia, which won't happen, guess what?
Well,
they couldn't play it at Adelaide Oval if they wanted to.
Why?
Because the date of the handover to football is before the Sheffield Shield final.
They count on the Redbacks not making the final, don't they?
Well, I think they count on the fact that Sacker's got no say in the running of Adelaide Oval. But anyway, there you go. So that's enough about that. First test match.
Oh.
How good were the Aussies?
Wow.
Hey?
No Travi.
No Travi.
Big out or not? Can't make a run over there anyhow, can
he? Well, I mean, you know, the press go troppo because, you know, they've got to put something in about the local town hero.
Yep.
And I admit that on statistics, he should have been in that test team. However, what you've got to take into account are two things. One is the statistics or the recent statistics were based on the test series against the West Indies and South Africa, and sure, Travi was a superstar. But you'd put them in the second tier of test nations.
Yep.
So you've got to look at the quality of the opposition, the tracks they were made on.
Yep.
Now, the problem that Travi had and the reason he didn't get picked in the first test is track record in Asia is horrific.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm not siding one way or the other. The experiment didn't work in that Renshaw got out.
Yeah.
But there was, if you look at it on pure logic, there was a reason why they didn't pick
him.
And, you know, I mean, we're all geniuses with hindsight. But it didn't surprise me. Let's put it that way. I didn't think they'd do it, but it didn't really surprise me that they didn't pick him.
I agree.
So, but anyway, I'll just say that... It, you know, as we all know, cricket is one of these games. I mean, lots of sports to a degree, but cricket probably most of all. So forget about the talent for a minute. It's played between your ears. And the Australians had psyched themselves out. You know, they'd looked at the pitch and said, oh,
yeah,
well, you,
they
it's impossible.
This part and, yeah.
But the inconsistency is that Cummins wins the toss. The pitch is so, you know, it can't be that bad because he's chosen to bat.
Mm.
We've made 170, which is nothing. The Indians on the very same track can make 400, of which two of their blokes batting 7 and 9 have made 80 and 60 each or something, and we go out and make 91.
Must have gone crook again.
Oh,
must have been terrible early, then what came good,
exactly,
and then went bad.
Yeah, conspiracy theory. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
what's
so they were shot before the game even started.
No.
Nothing much. I mean, I hope I'm wrong because I'm a loyal Australian. Nothing's going to change. I don't care what they do for this test coming or anything else. We aren't, on those conditions, we can't play spin bowling.
No.
It's as simple as that. We never have been.
What do you think of the new guy, the spinner?
Oh, he's quite good. But he looks to be quite good. I mean, you can't really judge him. Just, I mean, he was obviously successful, but I'd like to hold my breath and wait to see how they sort him out for the rest of the series.
Yeah. But now they've had a look at him, it's all a different
kettle
of fish.
And although he may be the real deal, you've got to think, gee, after seven games, Shield games, to be playing Test cricket, you know, does that suggest that we haven't got much depth in reserves of players coming up or what?
Yeah, well, we've got Sampa in the background, haven't we?
Oh, we have. Now, what about Darcy's catch, Phil?
Well, I didn't actually see it, Rick, but we were talking quickly before, and out or not out?
Well, I've been around cricket for a long time as a player and umpire, and basically on the ground, you know, and they talk about sort of it's not cricket and it's a gentleman's game, et cetera, et cetera. On the ground, just about without exception, the fielding team knows whether the ball's been caught or not. Now, with hindsight, we become, again, very much better off. But the Australian girls didn't think.
Oh, okay.
They basically appealed in a ladylike fashion but they weren't confident.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, the two on-ground umpires were so doubtful that, okay, they've sent it upstairs, but with a soft not out.
Mm.
The replay suggests that it's not out, and yet a bloke, a human being, like with two umpires on the ground, except he was off the ground, decides to overrule the technology and give it out. Now, work that out.
Yeah, as we've spoken here before, Rick, we don't quite agree with that technology, do we?
Anyway, say no more. And again, in the overall scheme of things, it's been and gone, but we could spend hours and shows talking about technology and whether it's worth its while or not. But anyway, so we've covered that. Net local cricket, Phil, is so exciting.
Is it? What's happened? Have they played a game?
Well, we've played lots of games.
I thought it might have still been raining.
Now, as we record this, the second day of the second to last round is going to be played this weekend, right?
Yep.
Now, as we stand, taking into account none of the results that will occur after Saturday's play, Angaston are on top with 55 points. Malalar and the new boys, Lindock, are both on 50 and Tanunda 45, with Greenock on 40 and Sandy Creek 35. Now, the interesting thing is that Lindock, Trent Burgey's back.
Yep.
Your mate.
Yep.
They've made 269 last week. Trent Burge, 134 from 168 balls, opening the batting. Now, they're playing light pass. They will win comfortably. So you could imagine that they're going to well and truly establish themselves in that top four. Now, Sandy Creek will win. They're outside the four, but they're only playing Newry, and Newry only made 112. However, that mightn't have much to do with it. Malalar made 289 against South Gawler. amazing game, but we're going to run out of time to explain the whole thing. But Rob Montgomery made 134 and Ben Martin 77, partnership of 192 after being 6 for 82. What a recovery. But the other interesting thing is that Tanunda, you know, I mean, I don't know whether, no wonder you sold up in Tanunda and went elsewhere. Tanunda have already beaten Angaston at Tanunda. Angaston managed 112 and Tanunda of 5 for 120, 15 wickets. It makes you wonder about the ground and the
Perhaps Chris Gers can't get the mower and the roller on there or something.
Perhaps
might be a foot long.
Perhaps we could say maybe he needs to go to a mechanic and work out what's happening.
To try and get the thing on there.
Well,
there's a fair bit happening there.
There's a fair bit happening at Tanunda, but all of which is a bit controversial. Yeah. But anyway, so for our good listeners who follow, the first round, which was abandoned because of wet weather, is now being played as a one-day game in an extra round 10.
Oh, okay.
Which could be significant because Lindock are playing Tanunda, both sides in the four.
Yep.
And then you've got Angaston and Williston. Angaston is safe, I think.
Yep.
But the Lindock-Tanunda game could be very important, as is the Sandy Creek and Malalar game. So it's going to be a tight finish.
Quickly, Rick.
Yes.
Who is going to stay in the... Is the four going to stay the same?
My prediction is that the four will remain the same.
Yep.
I've got a feeling the order might change, but my prediction is that the four will be Angaston, Malalar, Lindock and Tanunda.
There so one go. Plays four and two plays three.
That's right. Yep. But it depends on the results of this coming Saturday and the one dayer as to what order they'll finish in. So it looks like Sandy Creek in the four comfortably last year in the will miss out.
Yep.
But anyway, so be it.
Okay.
Now, we are running out of time, but listen, I think we'd better finish off. Sensational joke.
Okay.
And I'd really like to thank Philip for...
Not me.
No, not you.
No.
Philip will know for contributing this fine effort. Now, Phil, two young country footballers living in the Australian outback saw a couple of jobs advertised by the Queen of England. She was looking for a footman to walk beside her carriage. They applied and were very happy to be flown to London for an interview with Her Majesty. Her Majesty said to them, "Because my footman must wear long white stockings, I must see your ankles to be sure that they're not swollen or misshapen." After that, they show her the ankles. The Queen said, "It's also important that you don't have knobby knees, so I need to see your knees as well." Once she'd seen their knees, she said, "Now everything appears to be in shape, so I'll just need to see your testimonials." 9 years later, when the pair are released from prison, one of the blokes says to the other, "I reckon if we just had a bit more education, we'd have got that job."
It is very good, isn't it?
Thank you, Philip. That was really lovely. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
Anyway, so until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.